and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about food labels. So I know many of you go to the store and you really want to make the best food choices, but it seems very difficult these days. And there's so many food marketers that are tricking us into thinking that we need to eat certain foods that have labels and that we're not eating as healthy as we could. So we're going to talk about labels today. And what do they really mean? And what ones should we be paying attention to? So I have the perfect guest here with me to explain everything that you need to know. He's the meal prep king, best known for his cookbook, Fit Men Cook, as well as his amazing healthy nutrition advice over on his Instagram. I'm guessing many of you already follow him, but if you don't, he posts amazing healthy recipes that are really just simple and quick, and it's on IGTV, so it's very helpful when you need those new meal ideas or recipes that you're prepping in the kitchen. Without further ado, I'm so excited to have Kevin Curry here with me today. Kevin's going to make buying healthy food so much more simple for us. And again, with so many food labels from grass-fed, organic, free-range to all natural, it's so confusing. So we're going to break it down here in this podcast, and we're going to talk about the ones that mean the most. So Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
What's going on? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yes. So I'm excited to dive into this one. Props to you for the journey that you've been on and all the, you know, health and content that you're able to contribute into the world. We really appreciate that. This podcast is really geared towards educating people and just really inspiring them to be the best versions of themselves. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Just a regular guy who wanted to change his life through food. It just kind of ended up that way. I was really overweight at one point and I did what most people start doing. I started to do a whole bunch of cardio and went through the whole weight cycle thing, which means like going through periods of being overweight and really skinny because the cardio, and then nothing was really sticking. And then I just kind of really gave up and went back to a personal trainer, and they were going to charge me this exorbitant amount of money just for a 4-week program. And I was thinking, you know, it doesn't make sense. I got a grad school degree. I need to take my butt over there to the bookstore and read something and read about nutrition and teach myself how to eat better, how to live better. And once I did that, it was really quite remarkable because the weight just began to fall off. So all this talk about getting into the gym and no days off, et cetera, I'm going to kill it. Man, if you kill it in the kitchen first, those gym gains will come running.
Yes.
So I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what that journey looked like, because, you know, you just said I needed to educate myself. And so you went and got books, but I'm sure still going into a grocery store can feel completely overwhelming, right? We're thrown so much of this media and marketing about what's healthy, what's not, what, you know, fad diets there are. So tell us a little bit about that and really your mission now and your philosophy really on all these different labels that we have in front of us.
Yeah, it's actually quite funny. I really like your topic because it really touches on something that a lot of people struggle with, and that's the anxiety around healthy eating. And we have so much anxiety because there's so much noise. And I remember myself, like where I was about 5-6 years ago, wandering the aisles of, you know, of the grocery store. They probably thought I was trying to steal something because I would just spend so much time staring at products.
Yes.
And thinking like, I don't know what this stuff is. And I would hear people on TV saying, you got to buy organic. And I go to the grocery store and I was like, there's no way I can afford this $2 apple. Just, you know, if I'm trying to buy stuff for the entire week. So it really just kind of hit me in the wallet again. So that was the other aha moment for me, just to kind of take the reins and kind of figure stuff out. So what I'll say first before I go into like the label piece and like what I learned is that, first off, part of the journey of healthy eating is actually just kind of being clumsy and figuring stuff out along the way. So if you feel frustrated, if you feel kind of lost, that's okay. Because I think that most of us have been there. And that's the same way that you feel when you start anything. If you start a new job, you start like a new relationship, there's kind of like that, like, okay, like, what is this phase? So if you feel that, it's normal. But unfortunately for the health and wellness community, marketing is king, and we just do an awful job of giving people anxiety. When I first started out with my food journey, I was on a really limited budget. And so all the calls for people saying that you've got to go organic, you've got to go grass fed, I tried to do that, but I just simply could not afford it. But what I could afford was to take myself over there to the discount store, grocery store, and get all my food and all my meat. And it wasn't the best quality, but here's the thing. The weight started to fall off me. Mm-hmm. So through experiential data and through my own experience, I've learned that, okay, you can still make significant changes to your body and to your health, even if you cannot afford the organic and higher priced foods. So just know that off the bat.
Yeah.
That's my own personal philosophy. And I don't ever want someone to follow me, look at my page and think that, you know what, I just can't afford to be healthy, because that's not true. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to be healthy.
And you're living proof of that.
Yeah, I'm living proof. You know, we're living proof of that, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to food labels, there are tons out there. And there are a couple that kind of stood out to me, the ones that I really cared about. One of them was the organic label and then the certified naturally grown.
Yes.
And what I thought about the organic label, you know, when I was looking at it, it just basically means that, like, I think it's like 95% or maybe it's higher than that. 95% of the product has not been, you know, has been grown without using like pesticides and other types of chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. There's a huge price point increase that kind of comes with that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what I learned when it comes to buying like organic stuff, I didn't really notice a difference in terms of taste when it came to the produce, but I did notice a huge difference when it came to the quality of the meat. When I look at the bulk of my funds for grocery buying, if you are like on a meat plan, you know, I would spend the majority of my money on higher quality meat. Mm-hmm. And that's just because the regulations around meat are a little more loose.
Yeah.
And even though meat should not have any hormones and things like that, the quality of meat that you get is substantially different. Oftentimes when they are trying to mass produce meat and get it out there to the masses, they shoot it with a whole bunch of broth and other types of substances in order to make it more plump and make the cooking experience that much more enjoyable. But oftentimes that stuff dries out the meat, and it also adds an unnecessary amount of sodium to your diet. And so whenever I bought my first, you know, real chicken breast that was organic and air wrapped, I was like, wow, I cooked this up and there wasn't a whole bunch of water in the skillet.
Yeah.
And so all true. This time, I just thought that chicken was watery. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it wasn't.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing. And then also I noticed a really subtle difference. Now, again, I said that my body was changing, my weight was changing, but one thing is that my skin would kind of break out. When I started to purchase higher quality meat, I saw my skin clear up.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so from that point on, I just said, all right, if I'm going to have to spend extra money on something, it is going to be on the protein, just because I think the regulations are a little bit more loose. Even when you see things like these are cage-free eggs. Well, what does that really mean when it says cage-free? That just means that the chickens are outside of their cage for a couple of hours a day, but there's no regulation on how long they stay outside of their cage. Mm-hmm. So technically they could be outside their cage for 5 minutes or their entire life.
That's interesting. But then they still get to slap that label on there and we don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one that I've seen that, you know, that you can maybe kind of bet on would just be the wild game. So things like bison and venison, those are just, you know, they're actually a lot leaner just because they're out there in the wild. Roaming.
Yeah. Because don't the animals itself have quite a bit of protection about where they can live? Like, I feel like, I feel like there's protection on the animals, and then obviously the way that they prepare it as well.
Right. And so when you look at too, like wild game, that's also like grass fed. Mm-hmm. So there's that as well. Mm-hmm. It's also just about selecting, you know, the right type of meat. You were going to ask a question?
Yeah. So going back to like that organic produce, years ago when I was, again, on a budget, learning how to eat healthier, trying to find those shortcut ways to save on my grocery bill. For my produce, I would always look at the, I think it was like the clean 15 and the dirty dozen. And I'll have to be honest, I'm not sure if that's like a thing anymore. I haven't looked in a while.
Yeah.
But that was like another, I guess, way that it helped me. Cause I was like, okay, so what fruits and vegetables have the highest level of pesticides that it maybe does make sense to spend the extra money on versus when can I just buy the cheaper stuff that, you know, has like thicker skin on it? So is that something right. that you followed or are you familiar with that?
Yes. And I did, follow that and it gave me a lot of anxiety. But here's the thing where I realized it was unnecessary just okay. because I had so much variety in my diet that I was eating like a variety of things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just comes, so that was just a natural consequence that came along with the lifestyle that I was living and that I wanted to try to cook a new food like each week. I was trying different recipes and different foods. So I was constantly like changing things up and, you know, and yeah. so I wasn't eating the same thing. And so okay. you mitigate the risk yeah. of perhaps something happening if you do have a lot more variety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Grass-fed. I know you just touched on that. And that was one thing I did yeah. want to go over because I do try to buy grass-fed whenever right. I can. And I have found actually, not sure if you've also found this in where you live, but I have found actually that grass-fed is becoming a little bit more affordable. Now, I hope that like behind the scenes, someone's not tricking us and putting meat in there that's not truly 100% grass-fed. But I have seen the price of that like at a Target. Target even offers grass-fed now. And that is one thing with my meat that I have made sure of because we do have like tacos once a week. And, you know, I do have ground beef once a week. But I was always told you are what you eat. So like the whole difference between eating grain fed versus grass fed, do you believe that grass fed is better than grain fed cows?
I can't say about the cows, but I can say about the taste of the food.
Yeah, the quality of it. And the way, and you said the way that your skin felt and the way you just felt in general.
Yeah, but definitely the quality of the meat is much different. And you raise a good point is that thanks to consumer demand and also technology and showing farmers that it's okay, you know, that it's possible to raise more, you know, like more cattle and things like on farms with grass, that they don't have to feed them this grain mix. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is becoming much cheaper for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, the more we can demand it, the more farmers are going to want to get out there and get their products sold and companies, obviously. Let's shift gears a little bit. Instead of those labels, let's talk a little bit about your take on gluten-free, vegan, or multi-grain, right? So like we've all lived in this era, right, where gluten-free stuff is like thrown in our face and even, multi-grain's better than sourdough and going vegan. So tell us a little bit about what that's looked like in your journey and if you kind of bought into any of those marketing gimmicks.
So overall, no, I haven't bought into any of the marketing gimmicks. But what I will say is that I've dabbled in like grain-free recipes and mm-hmm. paleo and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And so just stay with me here. I do think I'm not saying that one is healthier than the other. But what I like about some of like the grain, you know, the grain-free movement or the gluten-free movement and paleo is that what it does is it gives people other options. Because for so long, we've just been accustomed to, okay, we got our pasta and we got our rice, and we got our potatoes. That's it. But when you start looking at grain-free recipes and gluten-free recipes, then you start to consider other options for foods that you used to, you know, like always eat. So like pasta for once, it doesn't have to just be whole wheat pasta. It can be vegetables. It can be butternut squash. Mm-hmm. I think the people that are experiencing benefits from those diets, yeah, like you can say like it's gluten-free and that's why, you know, the stuff is happening to you. But I just think it's just a natural consequence of you introducing other foods mm-hmm. into your diet mm-hmm. that are not as calorie dense or that are much more calorie efficient, mm-hmm. meaning that it hasn't been processed. A lot of the grains that we have eaten before are just heavily processed. But whenever you spiralize some butternut squash, it could be high in carbs, but it's much more efficient. So it's going to burn through you. So you're going to feel better. You're going to feel energized.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so also what it sounds like too, is that like you're choosing those foods that are just really natural foods. They're not the processed food, right? It's correct. Naturally gluten-free.
And that's the consequence that people are actually seeing and thinking that, it's because I got the whole 30. Well, technically you just cut up a lot of the processed foods.
Yes. Because at the end of the day, gluten-free cookies are still cookies.
There you go. Which leads me to the next question.
Point
in that I think that we've got to be careful sometimes and jumping on these bandwagons, because people will, I remember early on, before it was even gluten-free stuff, it was the protein, and people would cook with protein powder. And they would like, these are protein pancakes. And they'd have Oreos crushed on top of it, or like Reese's Pieces. And I would be like behind the screen, you know, the screen, like screaming. Like,
yeah.
Just because it has protein powder does not mean it's healthy. It just means it has more protein.
Mm-hmm.
These are pancakes that just have the high amount of protein in them. I think buzzwords like that just become immediately, you know, suggestive of health and wellness, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Because a cookie is still a cookie, even if it's vegan, and it can. And I admit plenty vegans who are overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the best health.
Yeah. They're still choosing unhealthier foods, right? It's not necessarily that if you just slap on, oh, I'm a vegan, that means you're eating healthier foods. No, I mean, you could still be eating a lot of processed stuff that's not good for you. So it's more about the quality of the foods that you're choosing.
Yeah.
Cool. Talk a little bit about low carb or low fat, because that's another buzzword that people are looking for. Oh, okay, I'm going to grab this food because it's low fat or it's low carb. I'm still seeing that label a lot in the grocery stores, but I think it's tricking us. It's tricking us all to think that it's a healthy food when in reality, they're taking out the fat or they're taking out the carbs and they're putting back in something to still make it taste good.
Yeah, that's a great call out. What people should know first off is that your health and wellness is very important, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, medical bills are really high. And what consumer companies have figured out is that because of that, you know, people are taking a much closer look at their health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a price tag on that. Health and wellness is a big business. So when you see things in the grocery store like low fat and low carb, it's not stuff, they're doing that because they understand that you are much more concerned about certain aspects of your health, and seeing certain buzzwords like that, you're going to gravitate towards and automatically assume that it's healthy and good for you. But it really is just science. Because even like there are a lot of frozen meals that are super low fat, super low carb, but it's just a bunch of science.
Mm-hmm.
You're just eating science just to make your macros.
Yes.
Just consider that as a premise. When I look at the two diets, low carb and low fat, I think there's space for both of them. In terms of the products, I generally don't buy a lot of those products.
Mm-hmm.
With the low fat stuff, whenever they are making something that's low fat, remember how food gets its flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Fat. Yes. Fat tastes really good. It helps to flavor everything. So when they take that out, they've got to put something else back in order to get close to that flavor that we really, really like. And usually that's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the low fat products have a lot more added sugar to them.
And typically it's artificial, because then they don't want the label to have anything high in sugar, because then people won't buy it.
And that's another reason why sugar and sweeteners have like almost 100 different names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that way consumers won't turn over a label and see sugar and be like, oh, okay, it's got sugar in it, and put it down. But if it says something else, like glucose or something else, you know, sucralose, you're like, oh, okay, it just has that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a sweet for guys.
Totally,
you know,
agree.
There's that. When it comes to the low carb stuff, it's the same thing. You know, they're taking out certain things in order to replace it, you know, like the flavor. I don't think that with the low carb, the threat of the sugar is as high. But what I don't like about the low carb products and low carb craze is that it really just puts like this crosshair on carbs as if they're like the bad food. I hear so many people just in passing like, oh, you know what? I can't eat that. It has too many carbs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, how many carbs does it have? 40 grams of carbs? Thinking like, that's not a ton of carbs. First off, if this is your only carbs of the day or anything.
Right.
But carbs are actually a really good thing, and not all carbs are the same. So I think that if you're brand new to healthy eating, recognize that there are simple carbs and there are complex carbohydrates. Simple carbs are going to be things that are really close to sugar. It's going to be like the white rice, the candy, sugar itself. A lot of the processed foods are very simple. When you look at sweet potatoes, whole wheat, you know, multigrain things, those are much more complex carbohydrates, and those are going to burn slower, meaning that they're going to give you lasting energy through the day. And carbs are good brain food too. So they help you to function. They help you to be energetic and explosive. So they aren't a bad thing. What I think that people really are saying, you know, when they say that I can't eat that, it has too many carbs, is that I don't know how to control myself. I don't know how to eat the right portions for myself.
Yes.
Because carbs can taste really good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's address that. But carbs are not the problem. It's us.
It's the excessive carbs that you're consuming.
Right.
What I love about your Instagram is, guys, and by the way, if you're listening to this, you have to go follow him. It's such a, it sounds like, or it looks like you pretty much shop the perimeter of the grocery store, right? Which is really where all that healthy food is living. But what I love so much about the stuff you post is you're not really depriving yourself of a certain food group. You have very realistic foods that you cook, and they look so delicious, by the way.
Thanks.
But I love like your take on really just how you can balance it all and how you can still cook really healthy and it can taste really, really good. And you don't have to focus on the labels. For people that are listening to this, what would you say as like a recap of everything we've kind of talked about as to what is the most important when you're kind of starting this journey of eating healthier? What would you say maybe are your top three tips to get into the grocery store, kind of what to look for and what to be making?
Sure. If you're just starting out, then first off, take it slow. I know the Instagram posts where people show like 50 different meal prep containers, they make you feel like, dang, get my life together.
Yeah.
But don't go jump into that. Don't go cold turkey. I want you to just start slow. And if you've never really been to the grocery store before, then I would suggest going there like with a purpose. And one purpose you can have would just be to, you know what, let's find one healthy recipe that you like on social media, print out the ingredients, and go and shop that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go and shop it. Make that one recipe. That's the first thing to kind of get you involved. When it comes to grocery shopping, like you already said, I like to shop the perimeter of it. It just kind of happened that way. Meaning start out in the produce section and see the vibrant colors come together and let that also inspire some of your choices. And one thing that I would do each week, I know it sounds super nerdy and crazy, but I would find one food that I didn't know anything about, and I would Google it and find a recipe, and I would make that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked forward to doing that every single week when I was first starting out, is because I was like, yo, this arugula thing tastes pretty good. And I remember the first time, you know, like I walked in and I was so proud. I said, hey, man, show me where the quinoa is. And the guy said, what? I said, the quinoa. And I showed him. He said quinoa. And I was like, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it's quinoa, but thanks a lot. Where is it?
That's funny.
But things like that, mm-hmm. you know, it really helps to build your kitchen confidence and your
kitchen
IQ.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing how food tastes and how mm-hmm. to pair it with certain things. And even if you hate the recipe, what you'll have is this. You'll say, ooh, next time I'm going to try this.
Yes.
Or next time I won't do that.
Yes.
So there is a little bit of fun in making this like enjoyable
yeah.
and just walking through it.
Mm-hmm. I love that advice.
Yeah. And then the final thing that I'll say is it's very similar to like the first one, but it's so important, is you got to take the pressure off yourself. Take the pressure off. This is a lifelong journey. You didn't gain the weight, or you didn't get to where you are just with one meal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to undo everything that you did just with one meal either.
Yeah.
So you're in no rush. And I love social media because you can give lots of ideas and you can get lots of ideas and you can engage. But sometimes the bad part of social media is it can really steal your joy because you begin to compare.
Yes.
And you're doing stuff based off what you see.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, if you're just doing it, just do stuff for you. I guarantee that you'll be much happier and you'll keep it going much longer.
Yeah, I think that's such a good message. You know, if someone's trying one type of way to eat, or they have all these recipes that they love, don't try to just recreate what they're doing. Doing what works for you, doing what tastes good to you, doing what makes your body feel the best. You're so right. It's that comparison game that we all play it, but you know, we got to remind ourselves that we're doing this for us, not for anybody else.
Right. But I'll say this too, this could be like a little mini rant. I did keto for 8 weeks, or actually about 10 weeks, just so I could be competent about it. I did a mm-hmm. challenge. It's on my YouTube page to show my transformation and just to learn much more about it. It's not something that I kept up with, just because, and I explained that too in the video, it didn't fit my lifestyle. I like to try different foods, I like to travel. And last mm-hmm. thing I need to be asking someone is, you know, do you have this in low carb?
Yeah.
No, just eat the food. But my rant is, just because everybody's doing something doesn't mean that you should be doing it too. And I know that your friend is enthusiastic and they just texted you how they lost 15 pounds of fat in 1 month. First mm-hmm. off, mm-hmm. let me tell you that didn't actually happen.
That didn't happen.
Your
yeah.
friend lost 13 pounds of water mm-hmm. and 2 pounds of fat within 1 month.
Thank you for saying that.
And, and your friend may come right on back and gain that weight back once he or she has that first bite of like carbs again.
Yes.
So just because everybody is doing something, don't go immediately and jump on that bandwagon because it can backfire mm-hmm. and it will backfire. You need to just build your plan for you. If you want to try keto, then do keto. My mom used to tell me this all the time. Sometimes you just got to keep stuff to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, and for the longest time until I started to share it out because I wanted the benefits of sharing it. I wanted free advice. That's why I shared about my diet.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of benefit from keeping my journey to myself.
Mm-hmm. Just you just focused on yourself first, right? And then you shared,
right.
which I think is so important.
Right. And that way I didn't want people come up to me in the gym. Oh, what you should be doing is this and what you need to be eating is this. I'm mm-hmm. like, you know what? I got a pretty good stride already, bro.
Yes.
I already lost 10 pounds. I am good
yes.
right now, but thank you very much. Fist bump. See you later.
Good for you. Good for you. And what would you say, like, from a standpoint of like having the patience, right? Because I think that's another thing that people start eating healthy and they don't feel like they are seeing the differences right away. And they really just need to be more patient, make it more of a lifestyle, right? Not this quick fix or something they do for 30 days. So talk to us a little bit about maybe, did you have to overcome some like struggles of like, gosh, I just need to be more patient and I need to continue with this process, trust the process. And, you know, I know the benefits will come.
I definitely struggle with that a lot. And that's going to come with the territory. You are going to get frustrated along the way just because at one point, all this enthusiasm that you have, you may just wake up one day and not have it anymore. That's going to come. You do have to practice patience. And so what I like to do during those times, and even just when I'm feeling this kind of stuck, is I like to set realistic goals. And a realistic goal for myself is not, I try to go beyond stuff like I got to lose 10 pounds just because, I don't know, I feel like that measure is not a really good measure of how I would like, what's really going to make me happy. What's really going to make me happy is how I feel, how I look in my clothes, how I feel about Kevin. So a realistic goal for me would be like, you know what, I've got to save up, you know, or not save up, but I got to work up to this Spartan race. I really want to do like this Tough Mudder. I can't wait to go and do this triathlon. I want to go rock climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Setting those types of goals and marks are really good to get you over those humps because it helps to redirect you. Oftentimes, whenever you feel like you're stalling, you could be treading water only because you kind of realize that, okay, I'm eating healthy, but what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
So sometimes having the four is enough to get you through that hump. But it also goes back to what you said that you got to make this much more of a lifestyle. So take it slow, uh-huh. make these changes gradually.
Uh-huh.
And once you do that, you know, it becomes easier. I'll say this because people ask me about like how to do that. When I really overhauled my diet, I ended up failing and I had to go back to square one. So the time when I really got serious, I just focused on one thing. And that one thing for me at the time was my lunch. And I just focused on my lunch and I cooked my lunch every single day, or actually I just prepped it and took it to work for, gosh, at least 3 weeks straight. And it was a way for me to save money, first off, because I couldn't afford to keep eating out. But secondly, I just really wanted to feel better. And once I got my, you know, my weight going and just my momentum going with the lunch piece and the weight was falling off me, I was like, you know what? This isn't too hard. Maybe I'll try to prep my breakfast. And then I prepped my breakfast. And then that led to me prepping something for my post-workout meal so I could come home from a workout and have something there to eat. And then over time and seemingly overnight, I had transformed my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just my regular diet. It was just my way of life.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that I was trying to hurry up and overhaul and do. So starting small, there's a lot of beauty in that because you get a good win. I'm not sure if you play video games. Do you play video games at
I
all?
Don't, no. I mean, I did when okay. I was a kid. I played like, you know, Mario Kart and Donkey Kong, but okay. haven't picked up no, I have not.
Okay, well, you'll still get this.
Yeah.
Whenever you start out like a video game, the first levels are always much easier, right? Helps to build the user's confidence, helps them to get like adjusted to like, you know, the joystick
yeah.
and the movements and things like that. And you get a serotonin boost. You're like, yeah, I got this. It's going to be easy. And it gets increasingly more difficult. Mm-hmm. But when you look back at the early stages, they're like super easy.
Yeah.
That's how your diet should be.
Yeah.
That's how overall your diet should be.
Yeah.
Start really, really small with just one thing.
Yep.
And go through those levels and then build your way up. So that way, like when you look back at like, oh, it's just lunch. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the best advice I've heard someone give for someone starting their journey. Because like you said, there's this overwhelm, right? Of having to keep up with all the meal prep, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, water, go to the grocery store. Like it is, right? Like,
water.
Yeah, you see it all out there. You see all those pictures of like the perfect week. And I've probably been guilty of posting those way back when like I didn't have kids.
Me too.
And, you know, I didn't have a realistic sense of what it meant to like be busy. But you're right. Like it's like starting with one habit, like one thing you can change a day, right? And like then once you've mastered that, like, okay, then you said you add the breakfast in and then you master that. And again, all this time, like you're really self-reflecting and you're looking at how that is impacting your life and how it's really making you feel to make you want to do more, right? Instead of feeling like you've got to do it all at once. So I absolutely love that advice. So Kevin, if our listeners want to hear more from you, let's talk about all the different things that you've got going on, where they can find you, where they can get more information, because I know they're going to want more.
Sure. They can find me on social media at FitMenCook, FitMen Cook on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And then also I have an app. It's on the App Store. It's for awesome. The iPhone and also the Android called FitMenCook as well. And there's two apps on the Apple App Store. There's FitMenCook and there's the Meal Prep Pro. The FitMenCook app is the base app. It's my first app and it was the one that, you know, that did very well. And it's basically all the recipes, you know, that I ever post. And then it shows you how to grocery shop them and it shows you how to redo the quantities. So that way you can adjust them for different portions and for families and et cetera, et cetera.
So you've put in the work. You've put in the work for us. That's awesome.
Exactly. You could even shop by aisle in the grocery store, like using the app. And it talks across the different Apple devices. So if you've got an iPad or an iPhone and someone's at home and they want to add them to the grocery list, they can do that. It'll pop up there, like, you know, like while you're there at the grocery store. So those things, they're really cool. And then there's the Meal Prep Pro app, which basically it takes that to a whole new level. It's like science and macro based recipes. So that way you can plan out your entire week and know what you're going to eat. So it offers lots of meal plans for different types of eating styles, for vegetarian and vegan, to paleo, to keto, and just to the regular one like me.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you for putting in that work. I know that building an app is not easy. So guys, we'll make sure to link all of that on the show notes so you can go directly to his site, his Instagram, and even the app store to check out those apps. So Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We really appreciate it. And we will definitely, we will definitely get some Burn Bootcamp followers following your page. So thanks for bringing that content. It means a lot for sure. Anything we can do, right, to help people be the best version of themselves is what we're about.
Amen.
Awesome. Well,
amen. I agree with that.
Cool. Well, thanks again. And guys, thank you for listening today and we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.